हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so Sri Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 3, Adhikarna 3, The Sameness of the Universe and the Lord. Anucheda 66, page 47, Purva Paksha. So the doubt. If Paramatma is the body, the source of all parts everywhere, then causes of good qualities and faults and giving designations like Brahmana should not exist. Only Paramatma should exist. Therefore, something else must be the source. Right? You guess that? Because we're saying that, okay, if everything is Paramatma, if everything is the Lord, then that means then all these designations we're giving wouldn't have meaning because then it's all the Lord. So why we're giving different designations? So they say there must be some other source than of the material world, right? Because they're trying to establish that the material world doesn't come from the Lord. Because if it doesn't come from the Lord, then it can be illusion. And if it's illusion, then we can become the Lord. Right? Utra, the following verse answers. In thinking elements are real, one makes an error by a mistaken attribution of qualities. Just as one has perception of waking and sleep states in a dream, so one has perceptions of good and bad which are stated in the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.15.61, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. In material existence, there are many regulatory principles and formalities. If material existence is temporary or false, this does not mean that the spiritual world, although similar, is also false. That one's material body is false or temporary does not mean that the body of the Supreme Lord is also false or temporary. The spiritual world is real, and the material world is similar to it. For example, in the desert we sometimes find a mirage. But although the water in a mirage is false, this does not mean that there is no water in reality. Water exists, but not in the desert. Similarly, nothing real is in this material world, but reality is in the spiritual world. The Lord's form and his abode, Goloka Vrindavan, in the Vaikuntha planets, are eternal realities. 7.15.61 per part. So when we say real, we mean what is actually real. It means this exists, the material world. But it's not real in that it's not actually what things naturally would do. Right? In the spiritual world, you have the same things, the same elements, the same activities. But there they give transcendental bliss. Why? Because they're in connection with the Lord. Here, then, things aren't connected to the Lord. They don't give that bliss. Right? And because they don't give that bliss, then, you know, we're thinking there's a problem with it. And so, therefore, we want to attribute that the same having the same forms and activities in the spiritual are a problem. But no, it's not real because it's not, the quality of it isn't very good. Right? It's inferior. You know, it's just like you have some very, you know, it's like you have you can buy your standard bottled water, right? And then, I remember I was done. Went down to Hulugat, and there was sitting on one shelf bottles, three different kinds of imitation Bisleri. You know, one was Bizarre, one was, I can't remember, but there were three complete, you know, make it, by first glance, you'd think it's Bisleri, but if you look, it's not. And three different names. So three different companies making, you know, knockoffs. So the point is it's not the same. So that doesn't mean that real doesn't exist. So like you said, it looks like there's water in the desert, but the point is that doesn't mean that there's not water. They'll say, oh, it's an illusion. Yes, but that doesn't mean there's not real water. So why is it an illusion? Because that water in the desert can't do what real water can. Right? So in the material world, therefore all the relationships and everything here don't bring about bliss. Right? Well, in the spiritual world, they do. Yes.
That's the definition, one of the definition of Maya is that which is not.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that which is not. And why is it not? Because we're not seeing it in connection with the Lord. While the devotees, they see everything in connection with the Lord, using it in the connection with the Lord. Therefore, they get a spiritual result and spiritual experience. And having doubts about Paramatma, Vastunaha, not understanding his position as the source, there is the error of thinking of similarity, thinking of identifying with the body, different from the conception that everything is one. After examining the previous and latter parts and putting them together, one makes the mistake of thinking, this is a body, because the parts are situated in one place with a common support, and because one perceives each part as one with the whole body. It's like taking each tree to be the forest. So there... So saying everything's Paramatma, but then the problem is then they're identifying with the body. Right, they're not seeing it in connection with the Lord. So they're thinking the one body is then, because this is material, so therefore everything else can't be. So they're taking it that one body, or that one identity, that is the cause of everything, or that is the basis of everything. You know, we can understand everything from that. Well, the principle is no, you can't understand everything from one body. You can say, no, by studying the body, you can understand, you know, what all bodies are like. But no, what you're seeing is why are all bodies alike? That's because they come from the blueprint that the Lord gives. So the universal form, He is the one that gives how these bodies work. Right? You know, you've seen one dog, you've seen all dogs. You know, they might be bigger, smaller, more fluffy or less fluffy or like this, but they all bark, they all, you know, do all the dog things that dogs do. So that's the point is that's because it's part of the universal form. So you can study a tree and by that get an idea of how the forest is working. But the point is it's the forest that makes the trees. Right? You know what I'm saying? The forest has the trees in it, not that one tree is the forest. So sense. So we're not seeing back to the Lord. And so because we're not, if we don't see something in context of the Lord, then we'll make the mistake that it's something separate. And because we're making things separate, then we're thinking by that analyzation we can understand things, when it's actually, it's understanding things in the context of Paramatma. Right? He's the source. He's the foundation. He makes everything work. If we don't see Him, then we're not going to actually understand. Yeah? The Lord says, although the flame is continually changing, foolish people say, this is the light of the lamp. Though the river is constantly changing, foolish people say, this is the water of the river. Similarly, although the material body of a human being is constantly changing, those whose lives are filled with lack of discrimination say, this is so-and-so. They lack discrimination in the words to express it. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:22-44. Right? So, means the flame that is there, that's burning off. It means you have a flame as long as there's fuel. Right? Fuel's finished, flame's finished. So that means that every moment the flame is going. Why? Because the fuel. So you say the lamp, this is the flame of the lamp. No, this is that moment that was, but the next moment it's the flame of the next aspect of fuel. Or the water, you say, oh, this is the water of the river. But that water that you pointed to, by the time you tell the next person, it's down there, and new water has come. Right? So we're saying this is, no, you have to understand the whole thing, how it's working. And so that is understood if you understand Paramatma. If you don't understand Paramatma, you don't understand how everything is there, how all the individual bodies are there. You know, just like we'll say, oh, this is this person, that person. But the soul is different from that, and the body is coming from somewhere else. That's by the laws of nature, then you have a particular forms. Does that make sense? Yeah. Good and bad, and thinking oneself to be a Brahman, etc., exist like perception of walking and sleeping states while in a dream. Right? Because in a dream, you can be sleeping or awake. You know, so there's always that kind of, that cliche of a joke that someone's having this bad dream. And then they wake up and they think, oh, good, you know, it was just a dream. But that's still within the dream. And then the dream continues. And then, oh, no, you're like this. Yeah. One should neither praise nor criticize the conditioned nature and activities of other persons. Rather, one should see this world along with Prakriti and the Jiva as one with the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:28.1. Udriti, Śrīla Viṣvanātha Chakravarti Thakura. In the 28th chapter, the Lord, who speaks all types of philosophy, explains Jnana Yoga of the Advaita philosophy, which sees the world as illusion. There are two types of jnanis who see oneness of the Lord. One group, accepting Vivartavad, says that the world is false and Brahman is without change. This group rejects the theory of Parinamavad, in which Brahman is the material cause of the universe. Since Brahman would then undergo change, another group says that Brahman is the material cause of the universe, since that Shakti, called Prakriti, carries out the creation. Though Prakriti undergoes change, Brahman, beyond Prakriti, remains unchanged in nature. Thus, there's no harm to Brahman in this theory of Parinamavad, right? Because if Brahman is the cause, that means it changes. And so then if it's real, then it's Brahman is changing. Brahman doesn't change. So then Brahma Parinamavad, then that will have a problem, is then Brahman undergoes change. Right? And then if you take the other, what's the Vivarta, it's just an illusion, it doesn't exist. Brahman doesn't change, but then this doesn't exist. But at the same time, is why is it there? Why we're conscious? Why is all these aspects? And we say we're part of Brahman, but to be part of Brahman and be covered by that means Brahman changed. Right? So in any case, something has to change. So one, you either say Brahman changes, and then there's that fault of Brahman changing. Or you say, no, it's just illusion. And we're like, you know, the air in the pot. That it's the part of the Akash, but the pot's separating. As soon as you break the pot, it becomes the Akash. But the point is it's still a pot. It's still part of Brahman. So how could Brahman, being not able to be undergo change, how can it be covered by a pot? Right? You know, Krishna, can Mother Yashoda tie a rope around him? Means, but with what? But just by putting a rope, she's able to tie him? No, it's with devotion. Because he's unlimited. How do you tie a rope around unlimited? Right? So therefore, then Shakti Parinambhavad means Brahman has Shakti. That Shakti transforms. Therefore, it creates. So Brahman is the basis. But at the same time, Brahman is separate. Right? Brahman's in control of the Shaktis. Shakti's transformed. So that works out. So thus, there's no harm to Brahman in this aspect. Though there is duality in Parinamavad, there is oneness of Brahman, since Prakriti is one with the effects of Prakriti, material world. Since Prakriti is one with the Supreme Being, being his Shakti. Okay. And since there is oneness of the Lord, though he has many forms. Though both groups are jnanis, the latter group is approved by the Lord. Right?
I have one page with missing.
Oh, I see.
48, 50. No problem.
Ah. I see. So both are jnanis, both are seeing Brahman, both are seeing the absolute truth. But one is seeing properly, one is not. So the Lord approves those who understand Brahman has shaktis, that transforms, that's how you have the world. But those who say is, no, it's all illusion and all that, the Lord doesn't approve that. The word asat is taken by the followers of Vivartavad to mean false. But according to the followers of Parinamavad, asat means a real object which does not remain permanently. So when we say it's asat or it's not real, we mean it's temporary. Or it's not what it appears to be. Right? It appears to be water, but it doesn't give the effect of water of the spiritual world. Right? Does that make sense? The difference should be noted. Though effects in this world are real, they are temporary, and are thus called asat, according to the followers of Parinamavad. So the others are saying they're asat, meaning they're illusion. We're saying that because they don't exist. We're saying they're real, but because they're temporary, then we don't call them real. Because of the spiritual world, everything's eternal. The Lord's eternal, the energies are eternal, the jivas are eternal. So therefore, it's not sat. It's not acting on the platform of sat, or eternity. Does that make sense? So here, asat means not eternal, temporary, right? The manifestation. Well, they're taking it as asat means it doesn't exist. So there's a difference. We say it exists, but it's temporary. You know, a different way to use asat.
So it's always just one word.
Like it's one word. Yeah, it's like, you know, you so many times you have in languages a particular word that has so many ways it can be used. You don't have?
Yeah,
so it's the same principle. Is that the root is that sat means is the existence of things, right? And so then you're talking about, so sat then we say is eternality, right? So then these things in the material world, they're asat because they're not eternal. The manifestations aren't eternal. Does that make sense? They are real, but they're not eternal. So in that way, they're asat. But material energy is an eternal energy of the Lord. So in that way, they're Brahman. So the material energy is therefore always there. But the manifestations of it, those are temporary. No?
When we translate Sanskrit into other languages, then the problem usually comes.
That's when you have to use phrases.
Yes. Describe it or...
You find some nice phrase that always works, and then you always use that. That's the way to... Because that's the thing. In some languages, then one word describes something in another language that will take, you know, practically a whole sentence to explain.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Does that make sense? You know, because if we say, let's say, cool, then depending on how you're using it, the translation means a guy whose emotional state, you know, is not able to be understood. And so, therefore, he doesn't put off any, energy of excitement. And therefore, he's not disturbed by anything around him and all that. So that's what you'd have to say to mean that cool. You know what I'm saying? So, you know. That's why then... If you have a nice word that translates it, you use it. But if not, then you use a phrase. Like we have Bhagavan, so we have probably the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have to use a whole phrase. Does that make sense?
Now it also makes the sense the word generally, because these words, they have their original meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But they use Sanskrit word jagrari.
Yes.
Explain it in a different way.
Yes, exactly. It's just like you'll see sometimes debates. they'll take it out of context. They'll take a word that somebody said and then put it into a different context. So they're actually giving it a new meaning. Then they'll have the audacity to turn around and say, so you're saying this. And it's like, no. How do you get that? Why would you say I'm saying that? You know? So then, you know, you have to... It's just the way... That's how rhetoric works. Rhetoric means, like, you know, the Sanskrit would be tarka, just argument. So that's why you see you have rhetoric and logic. Logic means what are the elements and how it should naturally move through. Rhetoric just means winning an argument. So for many nowadays, they function on rhetoric, not logic. So basically what happens is you have those who are looking at things logically opposed to those who are thinking of things rhetorically. And these become two opposing elements. Because one says, but in actuality it's not like that, it's like this. But to win an argument, they'll take it into, oh, you don't care about this one or that one. Or you understand? So all it is just... You've said, but this person isn't that. Oh, so you don't think he can do that? That's what you're saying? That's not what you're saying. You're saying that this water pot's not a blanket. Well, if it wants to be a blanket, why can't it be a blanket? Why are you restricting it? Why are you in your, you know, fascist way trying to control that this pot has to be a pot and can't be a blanket? Why are you so controlling? Why aren't you interested in the individuality of the pot and its own personal feelings? That's rhetoric. It's not logic at all. So the basis is an emotion, unless you're basing it on the emotion as Rupa Goswami shows how emotions work. You know, you're working it on what is the vibhava, anubhava, all that kind of thing. That's science. Then that's rhetoric. Or just a clever use of words. You just use the word, you trick the person. And he doesn't know what to say. So basically, it's not that you have a good actual point or logic of what you're saying. It's just that you're very clever to get the person to not know what to say. And in that way, you've won the argument. It's like, you know, how is that an intellectual glory? You know, yes, they did it with words, but you can also do it with a cricket bat. You know, if that's the same thing, he does that, and you come up and hit him in the head with a cricket bat. Now who won? No, but I did it with words. Yeah, but I did it with a cricket bat. You know, your words don't hurt me. The cricket bat hurts you. So who's more powerful here? Yeah, you know. You know, so it's just... That's the problem is that they're simply taking the word, because it uses the word asat, and then interpreting it as illusion, rather than interpreting it as it's a temporary manifestation. So, yes?
In that in the context of that point, I think somewhere I read a quote that, Vedic quote that, one wrestler is equal to 10 or 100 debaters.
One result.
One wrestler.
One wrestler.
One wrestler. Punch.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Can punch 100 guys.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's yeah, because it's on the intellectual platform. It's said to be better, but is it actually? Means... If you've emotionally said something wrong, it's not that if I intellectually say the same thing in a wrong way, that it's better. It's wrong. So that's the thing, it's due to false ego. We're identifying with the body, we identify with these things. And so we'll accept that the intellectual is better. And so we'll use it for argument. And then once we've removed the intellectual argument, then we'll go back to just being practical, because we couldn't care less for intellectual, because that's just theory, that's just philosophy. You know, we're into real stuff. But if philosophy comes, then you'll try to use the intellectual platform to defeat it. Because the idea is you just want to go on doing what you are doing. Right? So their idea, the Mayavadis, is that they'll become God. So it's not that in them becoming God that they the sadhana and all these other things are just methods to use. So you defeat their philosophy, but they're thinking, no, by purifying myself and getting liberated, I'll become God. So it doesn't, to them, what you say doesn't matter. You know, just like a person who's attached, it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter. If someone's actually looking, they're doubtful about material energy, doubtful about material existence, then you can point out logically what's going on, and they'll take that as important. Does that make sense?
This is a very important point, to discriminate between the rhetorics and the logic.
Yes, but most of the time it's not. So that's the thing, is that but the conviction about Krishna, that's the main drive. Because if you believe in Krishna, then people say things that are not in line with Krishna, then you can tell what's wrong. Maybe you can't articulate it well, but you know, that's the meaning of what it means is the Madhyamadikari may be defeated in an argument, because they may not know the words to say, right? Because you're always starting with a concept, right? Means words. You start with a concept in the mind, then that comes up through the chakras and then takes on its function, what it does, then its form, and then you speak it. Right? In other words, it's a concept or a feeling. Then it becomes a verb, then it becomes, you know, it's a feeling, then it becomes an energy, then it becomes a verb, then it becomes a noun. And then you can say it. Does that make sense? That's how it's working. So the difficulty is you have faith in Krishna, but means that may not be that all aspects you know how to connect to Krishna. So there's no feeling that therefore can generate the word. So they might be defeated in argument, but their faith is not. While the neophyte, then they may be distracted by being defeated in an argument. You know, it's just like I always remember, very common, you know, you'd be out and discussing people on the street, and then, you know, we don't smoke. So their thing is, you're restricted, I'm free. They would always try to say that. And for some people, they'd get, oh, yeah, you know, like that. But for others, this goes, okay, let's make an experiment. For the next 2 weeks, you won't smoke. If you're independent, means you can smoke if you want, or not smoke if you want. But the point is I could smoke or not, and I've chosen not to smoke. You are smoking, and you say you could, you know, not smoke. But no, you are forced to smoke by your attachment. Then they don't say anything. Then they get grumpy and go away. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, or those, they may not be able to say those things, but it doesn't bother them. They're not going to get distracted. So, yeah.
How can we get carried away by the rhetorics? I mean,
yes, very much. Very much.
Kind of.
And in logic, because what it is logic shows all the padarthas, or the 16 ways that you can use for a logical discussion. But in so doing, it also shows all the ones that aren't logical. And so generally in Tarka, means if you can use the logic and win, why wouldn't you? Because you're trained in it and you're an intellectual, so you can use it. But if you can't, then much of the time for people with you know, the condition, then it's about winning. And so for them, it's more important to win than to be right. And so then they may use these others. You know, it's just like, I think it was that one, what do you call it? Can't remember, but I think it's a derivative of it. You had that one famous debate between Trump and Biden, and Trump wouldn't let Biden say anything. As soon as he'd start talking, yes, Trump would just be talking. So in one sense, you know, some will say, oh, he's unconstitutional. But others say, well, he won the debate. So that's Tarka. That's rhetoric. It's just you won the debate by not letting the other person say anything.
Yes.
You know? So you know, I think in the next debate, then they had someone there that wouldn't allow that to happen. They had a mic that they could turn off the mic, so he could talk all he likes, no one would hear. So then he had to be. So you know, they had to work on that one. But that's the point is that you have these different techniques that you can use, and so basically you have the main ones, those are the ones you should be using, and these other ones are so you know what not to use. Like when you study something, you study what's right and what's wrong. Like if I'm teaching you like how to cut things with a knife, I'm going to show you how to also not cut your fingers or how to dull the knife. Right? You know, so that all goes together. So when you say is the logic has all these 16 parts, so that also means the parts that aren't so important. And let's say someone who is logical, he may use them only against someone who is not logical. You know. So that's the point. You want to be very careful to see that everything is seen in connection of the Lord. That's the proper interpretation. And all the other schools, then they're seeing it not in connection with the Lord. Or in connection with the Lord only in aspects that they are comfortable with by their conditioning. You know, God can be the supreme and all that, but just don't talk about fairness in the world and all things like that, because then if God's controlling and all that, then how is all this happening? And so therefore you throw it all out, and when you throw it all out, then what's your alternative? Then you have Mayavad philosophy. So, you know, so they'll accept God up to a point as long as he's supporting their morality. You know, and their morality is giving them facility. By being a good person, you're getting more facility than the person who's bad. But when you find the bad person is getting more facility than you, then you doubt, you know, the importance of this religion. Right? You know, so that's the... So that's why you have the sense of justice here, because you see as those who don't follow, then there's punishment. And so either you see the immediate punishment by, you know, one day the police show up and take the guy away, you know, or you see is that people are in unfortunate situations. You know. Like that. And so then you can see the bigger picture and you can see how karma is working. But if you see neither, then you can get distracted. So
Maharaj, can we say that everything depends on the intent of the person?
Yes, intent is there.
And when the intent is not clear to go toward Krishna consciousness, automatically it is about material consciousness.
If it's not about Krishna, it's automatically about Maya. It means if there's no light, there's darkness. And if there's light, there's no darkness. If it's about Krishna, there's no Maya. And if it's not about Krishna, it'll just be Maya. It's very straightforward. Well, you can't really say that. No, you can. You know, Prabhupada makes a point. You have a room that's dark, you bring in one candle, it's light. Right? But you have outside, can you bring some, like say I have a box and it's closed so it's dark inside, you know. So then I'm going to go out there and right out in the middle of the field and right under the sun, then I'm going to turn the box and then that darkness is going to make the sun go out. No. It'll just become light in the box. So that's the whole point. So darkness is therefore only around the edges. You know, that was Vyasadeva's realization, is that the Lord is there and Maya is there, but on the side. She's not directly in front of the Lord, because she can't be. The internal potency is directly in front of the Lord. She has to stay on the side. So he says. Okay. Okay. In order to briefly explain Jnana Yoga, which has already been explained extensively, the Lord now begins to speak. One should not praise or criticize the natures of other people, such as peaceful or ferocious, or their actions, since one sees everything in the world as one with the Lord. Right, because you're seeing it all connected to the Lord. So that's not the problem. The problem is the lack of consciousness, God consciousness. That's where the problem lies. So these may be symptoms, but they're not the problem. Well, you know, like here, you know, it says, you're so peaceful, that's why nothing's happening. Or that's, you're so ferocious, that's why there's so much trouble. But actually, no. It means these are going to be carried out by the laws of nature, by the modes of nature. And it may be that someone with this is coming. But there's also the peaceful person that makes everything work. Right? Does that mean saying so? Just like, let's say, you're in some situation, some places, some communities, and then something's going wrong. Then, you know, someone's going to get a nudge. Do something, right? And then they have to, you know, step forward and try to say something and try to work something out. But there's other cultures, you know, like far up north, like that, that when things are going wrong, everybody just goes silent. And then nobody talks about it. And then after 10 years, it's fine. You know? So in one, the peacefulness makes it work. The other one being, you know, forward makes it work. So the thing is these aren't the thing. One should see everything in the connection with the Lord. So what's favorable for service to the Lord, that's what should be seen. Right? Because someone's doing something wrong. Yeah, everybody's doing something wrong. It's what's right that should be seen. Okay. So... That which is expressed by material words, or contemplated by the mind in duality, is false. Because in duality means it's separate from the Lord. What, therefore, is actually good or bad within this existential world of duality? And how can the extent of such good and bad be measured? Right. So you're saying it's good or it's bad. How do you measure if it's good or it's bad? How good, how bad? You know, because if you're using duality, how do you define what's good and what's bad? One culture will say something's good, another culture will say it's bad. And let's say there's an agreement on bad. How bad is it? You know, it's just like the parent. The child is doing some nonsense. Oh, it's bad. You know, they're talking. You know, it's not so good, and this and that. Some other parent is freaking out. This kid's, you know, completely spoiled and ruined and all that. How are you measuring? Right? How do you measure? Same action. But what, if you look at it in one sense, because the conditioning, if the parent was doing that as a child, and now they're not doing it, or at least no one knows they're doing it, then it's not so, it's bad, but it's not so bad. That parent who never did that, then it's very bad. So how do you measure? That's the point. You'll say, oh, it's bad, but on what level? How much bad? You know, like that. So that's the thing. Unless you have the Lord, you can't. How do you measure anything? Because Maya means how do you measure. So if you're using duality, then the measurement doesn't have any, it's whatever anybody says. So unless you go back to the scriptures, then they'll give some direction. Then you have something to start measuring with. But even that, you can be wrong unless you see it in the context of how the Lord sees it, how He measures. Like you see here in the 11th canto, then Krishna, He is showing what is the standard. You know, it's like there's these two kinds of jnanis. This one's good, this one's not. Does that make sense? Yeah. So one has to be able to see things in the context of the Lord. So therefore, he's the sameness in the universe with the Lord. Then you can judge. What are you judging? How appropriate it is for bringing you closer to the Lord. Or how it's not appropriate to bring you closer to the Lord. But otherwise, materialists doing material activities, pious or impious, the pious ones are going up, the impious ones are going down. And once they get to the bottom, then the impious ones will become the pious ones will become the impious ones. So you say good or bad, but it's duality, so there's going to be both. You know, Prabhupada points out, in this material world, you can't judge something without duality. How do you say something's good unless there's a bad? How do you say something's hot unless there's a cold? How do you say something's happy unless there's misery? How do you say something's miserable unless there's happiness? You know, so everything's judged here, while in the spiritual world it's all connected to Krishna, and so therefore, because it's connected to Krishna, it gives transcendental ecstasy. That's why it's good. It's connected to Krishna, so it's perfect. Is that... Yeah? Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He explains the lack of object for one's praise and criticism, since duality is false. Right? So, you have something to say, a critique. So you're aiming it at something. But that something you're aiming it at, if it's asat, then how can you say that that's good or bad? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole point means good or bad has to be seen in the context of sat. What brings it in line with sat, that's good. What doesn't bring it in line with sat, that's bad. Right? So what's asat, you know, not in line with the Supreme, then that we're saying, this is good, that's bad. You know, therefore the context of the wet cow dung patty and the dry cow dung patty, one's good, one's bad.
Sometimes we need to adjust our value system with Krishna.
Yes, yes. That's the whole point in the 11th canto, is your value system has to be in line with Krishna. Now you're dealing with sat. Yes. Because asat can't measure asat. Sat can measure asat, and sat can measure sat. So that's the point, is that there are no material solutions to material problems. There's only spiritual solutions. Because even if you get rid of one problem, another one comes up. Right? Let's say, no, but I can solve problems. Okay, there's this medical condition. How are you going to solve that? We're going to take him to the hospital and meet the best doctor, best hospitals and that. And so how will that work? You mean just because you know, they like you, you smile? No, we're going to pay good money here. Okay, then you've done that. You've solved the problem. Now do you have money? No, now you have to solve the problem of the money. And then solving the problem of the money, then all that work and anxiety and exhaustion, now you're sick again, now you're back in the hospital. You know, so there's no solution. So... He explains the lack of object for one's praise and criticism, since duality is false, in 6.5 verses from verse 4 to 9, with extra lines in verse 7. Duality is false, avastuna. So vastu means substance. So there's no substance in duality. That's what we're talking about, is the false. And there's no... The meaning for the devotee is this. Because my form, abode, name, and devotees are all spiritual entities, they are Brahman and nothing else. What arises by words or by the mind related to duality is all false. Because it doesn't do anything for the soul or, for a service to the Lord. In that case, what does good or bad mean? And to what extent is something good? Since praise and condemnation will always exist in the material world. The word asat in later verses will be used to indicate something which is not spiritual, just as avastunaha in this verse indicates something material rather than totally false. Right, so asat meaning not spiritual. So it means the material world. And it also can be used to mean it's temporary. Real objects exist beyond the material gunas. So that's the actual real objects, because they are sat, they're in line with the Lord. The verses should be explained in terms of the error of mistaking one object for another because of similarity in the objects. Sadrishya Brahma. Brahma means illusion. Means if you put the H after the first A, yeah, Brahma. So then you're talking about Brahman, or you're talking the Supreme, you're talking about Lord Brahma. Brahma. But when you have the H right after the B, Brahma, that's illusion. So Sadrishya Brahma means the illusion of what's, you know, that what's real and what's not. Here. Duality is false. Dvaitasya avastuna. The meaning of this section is that Paramatma is non-different from the world because it is impossible to determine independence of anything else. Everything else is dependent upon the Lord. So that's why you understand the Lord is non-different from the world. Because you can't judge the world separate from the Lord. So it's non-different from Him. At the same time, there's a difference. So you don't want to mistake something for another. So the Lord is not mistaken for the world as the same, but at the same time as its basis is in the Lord. It has no substance other than its connection with the Lord. Because otherwise everything is temporary, and any time you try to identify and point out what's good or bad, then how will you do that? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let us say, you go back in history. Like means when we go to school and we have study world history. Then it's talking about the these personalities that are by their, I say, more in case with their political prowess and other things like that. They go around and conquer the world and rule the world, and it's seen as something, you know, that they've done, and it's something that they should be doing, and that, and they go in and cultures become destroyed and all these different things, but that's just, you know, collateral damage, right? Because you're establishing the superior culture. At the same time as nowadays, you might not be able to teach these things as good. The same culture that before is saying this is good, now they would have a hard time under the modern kind of woke, you know, consciousness saying that this is good. So therefore, how do you judge what's good or bad? You can say, no, but we can say this, but yeah, but before everyone said that was good. And tomorrow they'll say something else is good. So that's the problem, is that, so then you can get some idea if you follow the Veda. But the Veda is given by the Lord. And what is the Veda describing? It's describing how the modes of nature's work, how His laws work. So if you follow His laws, things work out better. You get better results. But if you're not seeing a connection with the Lord, it still won't be complete. It'll still be temporary. So by the Vedas, you would say piety is better than impiety, only because it's considering the laws of the Lord or the instructions of the Lord, though you're not necessarily seriously considering the Lord Himself. But it will still keep you in the material world. Therefore, ultimately, it will be lost, and there'll be a gross materialist like, you know, someone else who's not pious. It's just a matter of time. Just one's working on a bigger time, one's working on a smaller time. So, yeah. Narada spoke thus to Yudhishthira, yes.
And you said that it was said before about criticism and retirement, something like that.
Yes.
And you said that if we have the right perspective, the Krishna's perspective, there is no impetus to criticize or to clarify, because we can understand in the...
Yes, that's there. But on the material platform, you have two things. You have on the material platform is that there's, you're not criticizing because it means there's no importance to criticize in the material platform. So unless you're comparing it to the spiritual platform, then what's the point? Good or bad, it's all material. So it's all ultimately in ignorance, and so therefore it's not valuable to the soul, right? And so from that platform you don't. But if you want to point out what's useful in Krishna consciousness and what's not, then you can make distinctions. So that's the point. Uttamadhikari sees without distinction.
Yes.
So he doesn't need to criticize or say.
Yes. Yes.
But for the Madhyama, he may criticize.
Yes.
Because it's a matter of what's in connection with the Lord, what's value, what takes you forward in connection with the Lord. Well, the neophyte, they criticize, then it may not work out so good.
Yes.
Because that may be just based on their mundane concept of good and bad.
Yes.
That's why we have to use Krishna's concept, the Acharya's concept, is what Shastra says. Right? Because Krishna is going to speak according to scriptures, Acharyas are going to speak according to scriptures. So therefore, scriptures are the basis. That's the Pramana. But now you use it in connection with Krishna, then that's proper. But that you're using them properly, then that's karma. That's the aspect of karma. It's progressive, but it'll only take you that much. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of the ladder. You know, or he gives those steps. So you have a skyscraper building, and it has so many steps. So one person's on the fifth step, one person's on the 50th step, one's on the 500th step, one's on the top step. Right? So then, they're progressive, they're on the step, but you can't say they're all the same. You know, otherwise you want to say they're all the same, then you just have the two side poles and one bar, and then say it's a ladder. So, the whole point is you can't say, it means they're all on the steps, it's progressive, but you can't say that they're in the same place. Right? And so, if the person on the 50 steps, that already includes the five steps. The person on the 500 already includes the 50. The person on the top step includes all the others. So bhakti includes all the others. The same steps. But unless it's done in context of Krishna, how it will... You don't move forward in that, in bhakti. And the other schools, they also only work because of bhakti, just they're not acknowledging it so strongly. Because if something you're doing only works because of something else, and then having gained it, that something else stops working, but, you know, then the intelligent person at one point will go, well, why am I working with something that doesn't work on its own? Isn't the thing that's working, isn't that more important? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, I have something I'm running. Let's say I have my computer, okay? And so then I need current, I connect it to the generator. Right? And the generator is connected to the electricity. Right? So then people are, you know, using that and quite happy because they get their good current and everything like that. But if you think about it, why do I need the generator? I can just connect directly to the electricity. I get the same work. You know, there's this idea from seeing according to duality that no, you require this for bhakti. Oh no, unless everybody's nice and wonderful and loving and caring, then bhakti can't work. So therefore, we have to work on and cultivate being loving and kind. You know, all this chanting and all that, you know, like that, devotees are so rough, so what's the chanting for? We should first, so everybody sit down in a circle, okay, everybody hold hands, okay, and now, this one is this, you know, and so then like that, and everyone goes, oh yeah, that's nice, then you go around the room and everybody, see, isn't that so wonderful, isn't it nice seeing the positive, and you can do that, but the point is, at what point is bhakti applied? And when will that be used for bhakti? Because when you mention bhakti, they'll say, no, but without this, so then there's no favorableness towards bhakti. So when would bhakti be used? So as long as I go around and people, everybody's nice, I'll consider everything's great. So it's not about bhakti, it's about being nice. But we see the devotees, that they are absorbed in Krishna, so they see everyone as part and parcel of Krishna, so they're nice to everybody. That's because you have Krishna, then you have this niceness. The other one you have is so-called niceness, but it's asat, because it's temporary. They're nice now, but you do something they don't like, they're not nice anymore. Because for them, niceness is the goal, and if you're not nice, therefore you deserve to be punished, they don't have to deal with you nicely. Even though they're talking about being nice and don't see the criticism and that. Then what happened to that? No, but you're behaving badly. But, you know, the other persons were behaving badly. That's why this one was criticizing, because they were behaving badly. No, you have to see the good side. Why don't you see the good side? You know, so that's the thing. It's based on duality, so it can switch at any time. Good can become bad. Bad can become good. You know, like that story of King Midas. You know, with the golden touch. You know, so he wants money, so he gets the benediction. Anything he touches will turn to gold. He's great, but now, you know, if he touches his family members, they turn to gold, and everything turns to gold. His Rolls Royce turns to gold. You can't drive it; it's just a big chunk of gold. So now what? Can he eat? You know, anything he picks up, you know, turns to gold. So problem.
Businessman can use him as an asset. Tie him up,
hang him from the ceiling, and just bring in things and touch it to him. Okay, run out quick. Yeah. Anuchita 67. Yeah? Tvam vayur agnir Avanir Vyad Ambu Matra Pranendriyani Hridayam Chid Anugrahas Cha Sarvam Tvam Eva Saguno Vigunas Chabhuman Nanyat Tvad Asta Astyapi Mano Vachasa Niruptam. Old Supreme Lord, you are the air, the earth, fire, sky, and water, the objects of sense perception, the life airs, the senses, the inner organ, the pure jiva and the shakti, which turns persons towards you. You are everything, subtle and gross. Everything expressed, either by the words or by the mind, is nothing but you. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.48. Hridayam refers to the inner organ composed of mind, intellect, ego, and chitta. Chit is the pure jiva. Anugraha, so you have chit, just C-I-T, but chitta, C-I-T-T, long A, that's the polluted consciousness, or the pure consciousness, that's the consciousness of the jiva. So generally in this context, then it's part of the inner organ, means you're talking about the on the material platform. Now, if you're dealing that the chitta is absorbed in Krishna, then everything becomes spiritual. Right? Chit is the pure jiva. Anugraha is the shakti, which turns people towards the Lord. Everything material, saguna, and spiritual, viguna, is you alone. Prahlad spoke thus to Nrisimha. Vriti, having proved that the effect, material universe, is not independent from the cause, Paramatma. Next, the difference between the cause and effect is stated. Right? So you're trying to establish the non-different to get rid of any ideas of where else it comes from. It comes from the Lord. That's the source. There is no other source. But at the same time, is then, now you want to show that there's a difference, because otherwise, then you, like you can see, is, you know, how you say. I remember once I was saying, in the Gurukul, we had this mango tree. It was a small mango tree, but it was a special mango tree. It was called Baromas. It was always growing mangoes. So it had three seasons per year. And so then some guests came into the Gurukul with their kids and all that, and the kids saw the mangoes and wanted a mango. And they said, oh, the kid wants a mango. We have a mango. I said, oh, but they're for the deities. He says, no, but the child is God, so then, you know, you want to give to God so you can give to the kid. He's going like, okay.
Yes.
No?
Indian gesture.
Pretty standard. Somehow when they grow up, they're not God anymore. So, only when they're babies, right?
They don't mess it up with the South Indian Brahmins. They never go and say to the Brahmin in the temple, oh, child is God. Because the old Brahmin, he'll
have something to say.
No say.
Right?
Yeah. Anucheta 68. The Lord's difference from the jiva, maya, and the effects of maya shakti is made clear. Just as fire is actually different from a blazing coal, and similarly is different from the spark and the smoke, which arise from the fire. Though, by imagination, they appear to be fire. Similarly, Bhagavan, possessor of inconceivable powers, who also appears as impersonal Brahman, is different from Pradhan, the conscious jiva and the body, senses and antakarna, because he is the witness of the other, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:28, 40, 41. So here it appears that now it's saying the opposite. So it's saying the world's not different from Paramatma. At the same time as Bhagavan, he's separate from all this. So, as Paramatma, it's not different, but at the same time, as you can also see the difference, as will be pointed out here, but especially here, it's pointing out Bhagavan. Because when they're showing the difference, they'll show it's Bhagavan. When they're showing the similarity, then it'll be Paramatma or Brahman. Even though they're both transcendental and beyond, so there's no question of. Okay. Udriti. Srila Prabhupada. A clear conception of the complete whole is given herewith. The living entity is different from the material elements, and the supreme living entity, the personality of Godhead, who is the creator of the material elements, is also different from the individual living entity. This philosophy is propounded by Lord Chaitanya as a chintya beda beda tattva. Everything is simultaneously one with and different from everything else. The cosmic manifestation, created by the Supreme Lord by his material energy, is also simultaneously different and non-different from him. The material energy is non-different from the Supreme Lord, but at the same time, because that energy is acting in a different way, it is different from him. Similarly, the individual living entity is one with and different from the Supreme Lord. This, quote, simultaneously one and different, end quote, philosophy is the perfect conclusion of the Bhagavat school, as confirmed here by Kapiladeva. Living entities are compared to the sparks of a fire, as stated in the previous verse. Fire, flame, smoke, and firewood are combined together. Here the living entity, the material elements, and the Supreme Personality Godhead are combined together. The exact position of the living entities is just like that of the sparks of a fire. They are part and parcel. The material energy is compared to the smoke. The fire is also part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And the Vishnu Purana said that whatever we see or experience, either in the material or spiritual world, is an expansion of the different energies of the Supreme Lord. As fire distributes its light and heat from one place, the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributes his different energies all over his creation. Right? So from himself in one place, then everything's expanded, because it's just him. He's one person. He may expand to do so many different things, but it's still the same one person. Right. The four principles of the Vaishnava philosophic doctrine are Shuddha-dvaita, purified oneness, Dvaita-dvaita, simultaneous oneness and difference. Vishishta Advaita and Dvaita. Vishishta Advaita and Dvaita. All four principles of Vaishnava philosophy are based on the thesis of Srimad Bhagavatam explained in these two verses. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:28-41, purport. Yeah, so these verses, so they're just bringing out which? It's a purified oneness, that you see the oneness, but you have to see is purified, and that you're not seeing it from the material point of view. There's no duality. So you're seeing that aspect of it's the one with the Lord, but there's the variety. So it's a purified oneness. It's not this monistic, which is a material concept. Right? In other words, Mayavad philosophy, that oneness, it's material. It's not spiritual. Vishishta Dvaita is special oneness. You know, special how there's the oneness. It's not just an ordinary, you know, oneness like this. Okay. So that's from 3:28-41 purport. The meaning is this. Because it is their cause, swa sambhavat, fire, their material cause, is different from embers. A spark and smoke caused by fiery wood. They appear to be fire because of the presence of a portion of fire in them, such as the ability to burn. Atvena abhi matat. That means all these things can create heat and create a burning. Burn. That means, you know, that heat can create fire. So, therefore, that's the aspect. And it's the fire that is that makes the oneness there. Mm. But they're different features because they act in a different way. Mm. So that's the point. It's simultaneously one and it's different. Mm. You know, so the one is you're looking at the simultaneously oneness and different. The simultaneously one and different. What is that, the other one? Simultaneous oneness and difference. Mm. Right? Means they're simultaneously one, but they're different. Mm. But it's not showing that at the same time.
Yes, yes.
They're showing you can look at it this way, you can look at it that way.
Yes.
Well, the others will take one angle.
Yes.
You know, purified goodness, special goodness, and difference. So as Prabhupada mentioned, that verse then becomes the source of all the four schools.
Also, the inconceivable part is also like not brought into prominence much in any of the schools.
Yes, so that's why it's inconceivable how it can work, but it is working.
Yes.
That's the whole thing. So even that aspect of the impersonal philosophy of the anuvachaniya can't be explained because it's beyond explanation. But it can be revealed, so you can know it. But there's this beyond. So because their point is you go beyond knowledge, there is no knowledge, there is no this and that, there's only just nothingness. But the point is the Lord can reveal it, so you can know, even though it's unknowable. You can explain it, even though it's unexplainable.
Mm-hmm.
He's beyond words, but you can use words to explain. So that's the inconceivable.
This item of inconceivability is essential for a person who wants to take spiritual life.
Which?
Which for a person who wants to take spiritual life, it is essential to accept the inconceivable, that God is inconceivable.
Oh, yes, of course. But it means the first point is you just accept God, and then you can appreciate the inconceivable.
Yes.
But the point is you know, some will say, oh, that's not logical. But the point is God, it's not illogical to say God has inconceivable potencies. Because they can't conceive of what's going on here.
Yes.
Means if they could conceive, then where is the unified theory?
Yes.
Means it would just be right there, but it's inconceivable. They can't figure it out. They've been working on it over 100 and some odd years, I think, from the 1800s. Late 1800s. So possibly, you know, 120, 130 years. Yes. You know, this concept of a unified theory. They can't find it. So the whole thing is therefore it's not illogical to say that God is inconceivable. Yes.
Also, anybody who's powerful means he needs to know about everything without anybody noticing him that he's knowing. Like, best kings always have the best spies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always there. Like, if you are powerful, means there is something inconceivable about you.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows.
Yes, yes.
And the quality of a king is grave. Like, nobody
grave, so understand. That nobody even knows that he knows.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll speak in such a way that he's acting as if he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he's asking questions or talking in such a way to bring out these points so he can tell whether the person is telling truth or not. But he doesn't make it look obvious. Because it's not about letting you know that he knows. So the kings don't sit around then winking, you know, like that.
Powerful means there should be some inconceivable, which is not ordinarily understood.
Yeah, not understood. Yeah. So that's the point, because Krishna's like that. You'll see that in his creation. So you can even see elements of that here.
Yes.
Is that? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.